You're listening to The Sports Memory, part of the Sports Moments and Memories podcast with Craig Olson. Make sure to like and subscribe so you never miss a sports memory. One of our sponsors is Pemberton Law Firm. They serve you from locations in Fergus Falls, Wadena, Alexandria, Detroit Lakes, and online at pemlaw.com. Pemberton Law carries a legacy of trustworthy and reputable legal representation dating back to 1883. Also making this podcast possible is Lake Area Docks and Lifts. They offer premium waterfront equipment sales, service, and installation. Best quality and service at the best prices. Just ask your neighbor at the lake. That's Lake Area Docks and Lifts.
In the mid-1950s, Paul Anderson and Raleigh Lake spearheaded a group that had an interest in bringing high school hockey to Fergus Falls. Well, that became a reality in the 57-58 season when Paul Anderson coached the Otter varsity hockey team in six varsity games. Raleigh Lake took over the reins and actually coached for 6 years. It was during his tenure that the Fergus Falls Youth Hockey Association was born. Don Ashworth, who was a player for Roger Johnson in the late 60s, talked about what he recalls of that Otter Hockey Association's beginnings.
Well, I know we moved from the Twin Cities area, from Edina, in 60 or 61. And I know my father was involved, played hockey there in men's leagues that were in national tournaments. I remember going down to a place called Pershing Rink, skating as a kid on the pond next to the rink while father played senior men's hockey. So we moved up here, and they did have high school hockey, but they had no youth program. So my father and many others, but my father, Lloyd Shagstead, Raleigh Lake was involved, Cal Larson, and others that I'm sure if I look back at some information, you could probably come up with some more names. But they got together. Father brought a group together, and they decided to put together a youth hockey association. And they did that in 61, 62. And I think the first year, all the games were played at Cleveland Rink. That was the only rink that had a warming house, I think, back then. And I remember going out to flood that in the morning and wasn't really happy with that over the years. But they started there. I think they had maybe 50-some-odd kids the first year. Mark Sand and Gravel was who Father worked for, so they were a sponsor. And they had KBRF Radio. They had a lot of the community groups, risers, places like that that helped sponsor teams. So that's how it started in the 61-62. And like you say, grew to be a very successful organization and gave kids a lot of opportunities to play.
So you were actually in some of the first youth programs on some of the youth teams that were the first ones in Fergus Falls.
Absolutely. I have pictures to prove it.
Yeah. Well, I see some of those, I bet.
But, sure.
Well, and I know you mentioned, we were just chatting before we started this, that by the time the 70s came around and the real strong teams that Wayne Horgan coached, a lot of those teams were benefiting from that hockey association, and there were, like you said, like 400 kids involved.
As I said, back when they started, 50, 60 kids, and it grew almost exponentially every year from that. They got more people involved, and I, like you say, I think into the mid-70s, late 80s, when they had those terrific high school teams and kept bumping up against Roseau and teams like that to try to go to the state tournament, I know they had upwards of 400 kids that were playing, and you know, at the Termite, the Mite, the Squirt level, Pee Wee Bantam, a lot of kids. It was a great program.
Was it mostly house league at that time, or were there still some traveling?
Oh no, they had traveling teams. The house league was, I mean, that builds all of the traveling teams. So the house league was very important, but they had traveling. They didn't have traveling squirts. That's a later iteration of how soon you want to get kids on the road and at hotels. But they had traveling peewee and traveling bantam. There were leagues all over the state from that standpoint. So they had a lot of teams to play within a fairly close area.
So who were the most influential teachers of hockey in your life at that youth level and the high school level and beyond or prior to?
Well, absolutely. My father got me started, and he was, like I said, he played, loved the game, and which is why he put so much time into getting a youth hockey association started here. But I think certainly he would be the biggest influence in my life from a hockey standpoint. And then as you grow up, a lot of coaches that make a difference. Lloyd Shakestead, for as much time as he spent at the arena when they first started, that was always a place you could go if you wanted to go skate, if you wanted to go talk hockey. You could always find Lloyd out at the rink taking care of that. And so he had a lot to do with the early interest and the early, I think, commitment to playing and really having fun and enjoying it.
Roger Johnson, who has been a part of Otter hockey since the 1965-66 season, remembers also some of the early history of Otter hockey.
You know, they had a rink on Lake Alice, and finally when I started coaching, we were at Cleveland Rink, but we practiced outside, played a lot of games outside. You know, whether I can remember going up to Fargo and playing, and it was so below zero, it was so cold that we had to go on the bus between periods. Didn't have a warming house, but we managed to get through. We didn't win a lot of games. I think we won two the first year.
Roger was fairly young when I was coaching. He liked to get out and play. He really enjoyed that part of it. So I think he enjoyed the camaraderie of with players and being a little closer in age from that standpoint. But always practices were fun. We always worked on things from the standpoint of drills, improvements. But it was fun. You were anxious to get to the rink. You really enjoyed after school. That was, you know, you went right to the rink and spent as much time as you could there. And then a lot of the kids, players that I played with, everybody tried to give back. They got involved with the youth program. They coached. They helped. So it was just a real tight-knit community at that point.
Now, your last 2 years there, you won eight games each year. And that was the years that the Otters were not winning a lot of games. You're not recording winning records.
That's an understatement.
But what do you recall about the varsity years and the improvement that you made from freshman year to senior year?
To give you some context, when I was a freshman, we played, we were 0-17.
Wow.
So built a lot of character, as they used to refer to it. But from there on, I think the first game that we won that I was a part of, that our group won, I think, in 3 years, was when we beat Alexandria here. I remember that. And so, you know, those landmarks, you build from that. I think we played Moorhead, always had a long way to go to catch up with their skill level. I think we beat them for the first time in 71, I think, when I was a junior. So going from 0-17 to a few wins to 500 to a little more, better than 500 when I graduated, you know, it's a process. But you build the youth program, you just spend time at the rink, you spend time with other kids that are that really love the game and want to play, and you try and give back. And all of that, I think, translates into building a better program and having more players that try out for varsity and travel teams, and you just upgrade the skill level.
After Raleigh Lake's 6 years as head coach of the Otters, Al Peterson took over for the 64-65 season. After that year, it was Roger Johnson taking the helm as the head coach, and he would hold that position for seven seasons. And it was during that time that the Youth Hockey Association was starting to show some great progress and increased in numbers to a point where they were about to start impacting the Otter varsity program. Well, 2 years under two separate coaches, Doug Peltier and Don Dumay, kind of set the stage for what was to become the first real successful period of varsity hockey in Fergus Falls under the direction of head coach Wayne Horgan.
The first year I was here, 74-75, I did a lot of time observing, not delving into the deep problems of the program and everything. I was working with Danny Eckelberger and Lloyd Shagstead. They were coaching Peewees and Bantams. And we talked a lot. I was really appreciative of those two guys. They had a lot to do with the development of the younger kids coming into the program. And I know that Danny, I spent many hours with him talking about what I wanted to see in the kids when they hit the high school scene. And he did a good job, a very good job. I'm very appreciative of him. Lloyd, he was more the discipline with the Pee Wee type, you know, 12, 13-year-old kids. And I didn't have a lot to do, although Lloyd was listening, paying attention, and they put a lot into the development of the kids that came through in the 77, 78, 79 era. So that's kind of what I put in my philosophy. I want to be fair, but I'm not going to take the crap either. And that was the key. And that's what I learned from Bemidji. All this junk that doesn't have to be dealt with. And so that's what I did the first year. We didn't have a real good year that year. We were well below 500. But learned a lot. And the second year, of course, then lower the boom. And that's kind of what happened in 75-76 was there were young kids that came up that were very good, and they were still at that age where, okay, the rules are important. And we had a 16-3-1 record that year. People were flabbergasted, and I wasn't. I knew we could do it. We weren't playing the heavy schedule yet. We had kind of a mixed schedule. We weren't playing the Rosals or Bemidji's or the we played Moorhead, and but it was a fun year, and I think that kind of set the tone for the rest of the years I was here.
Steve Lundeen is a 1979 Otter grad and a part of four really successful Otter boys hockey teams in those years, playing for Wayne Horgan.
I think we had really good leadership on those teams, my teammates, and Wayne Horgan was a new coach then. I can't remember what year he came in. You've got it right in front of you, but he really put some systems together. We had great practice routines, and we had a bunch of guys that were used to winning too. So as Peewees and Bantams and Squirts, when we went to the rink, we kind of knew we were going to win the game.
Tell us about those formative years, because Wayne was your varsity coach, but you played and learned the game from some pretty good coaches in the youth level.
We did. As a Peewee, I remember Rich Johnson. I don't really remember a lot about the coaching because, you know, we were playing and just playing the game and having fun. But I remember him as really I had a lot of respect for him, and just really a good guy. Our Bantam coach, Dennis Eckelberger, was a great coach, and we had great Peewee teams and great Bantam teams as well. We beat some teams that we surprised, and that I think surprised some of the hockey people in the area as young kids. I know as Squirts, we went up to a Bemidji tournament, and we were ahead of Roseau 3-0 after two periods and lost 4-3. And the next night played War Road, and we were up 3-0 after two and beat them 3-2. And I think people started to look at Fergus as maybe having a little bit of a hockey prowess at that time, where previously really hadn't thought of Fergus much for that. We were very accustomed to winning, and once that happens, your confidence really grows, and when you step on the ice, you really expect to win every game, every shift, every period. Of course, it doesn't happen, but that's really what kind of our mindset.
You talk to hockey coaches, and they say you got to build from the goal out. You want to have a good goalie, top defense, and, yeah, we'll get some goals, too. You get some forwards to do the scoring, but I look back and read about your teams, and the thing that jumped out at me right away is you had some good goalies and some really good defense, and you had some goal scorers too, but it did kind of start back defensively, didn't it?
Well, that was part of my philosophy. You start from the goal and work your way out. And Larry Ross taught me that. He was a goalie, college, and he worked with the goalies just about every day for, you know, 10, 15 minutes. And I tried to do that. I tried to get that part of the game started. And then I played defense in high school, and I know how important the defense is. And so I worked a lot with those defensemen. As far as the forwards were concerned, I kind of looked for the kids that were had a nose for the net and the ones that didn't, because you got to have both out there. And that's kind of where we went. Nick Nowak was my assistant for the first couple of years, and then Roger Johnson came back and helped as an assistant. And they kind of brought the fun into the hockey. I brought the serious, you know, discipline and all that stuff into it. But that gave the kids a chance to do their thing offensively. Nick and Roger, they worked with the forwards while I worked with the goalies in defense, and, you know, for the times that we were split up.
I think the first team that I really was impressed with was the it's 1978. Fergus played Roseau in the section finals, and they had all these studs. You know, they were they beat us. I think it was 8-1. I don't know if we touched the puck that game,
but Region 8 was, and historically had been, extremely good. But that year, of course, we played Roseau in the final with two Broughton boys, Neil and Aaron, and Butsy on that line. They had a lot of other good players as well. That game, that tournament, we went up. It was held in Thief River, and we won the first game. I can't remember who we played. And then the semifinal, it was a big crowd in the rink, and we beat, I can't remember who it was that we beat, a good team, Thief River maybe. And the Fergus fans at the end of the third period, I don't know if you've heard this story, but the fans were chanting, "We want Roseau," in the rink. And of course, the Roseau team and half the town were sitting right across the way. And I've heard after that from some guys from Roseau that really got them juiced up. And they beat us 8-1 in the final. It was 3-0 after after one, and 4-1 after two. But they really held the puck. They controlled play completely during that game. And just a great team, which we really expected to do great things at the state tournament. And I think the first game they went down and they got just trounced by Edina by a big score. I can't remember what it was. People can look it up, but a couple of us were looking at it the other day. And that was really surprising to us, because Roseau were just such a good team that year.
Well, I knew we were going to play Roseau if we got there, because they had Neil Broughton, Aaron Broughton, and they had Butsy Erickson. They had goalie Jim Nelson. I mean, that team was a powerhouse. I was totally surprised they didn't win the state tournament that year, but there was also some other teams like Grand Rapids and a few others down there that were just as good. But, you know, it would have been nice if we'd have faced a team of that quality during the year. Then we would know. The kids would have known what we were going to hit. They were just blasted that first period up there. I mean, I think we were behind 3-0 after the first period. And, I mean, you know, you can't coach kids if they haven't seen it or experienced it. So it was tough. But we had a team that year. We were actually ranked. I don't remember what position we were ranked, but we were in the rankings. And the teams up north, like Thief River and Bemidji, they were worried. I mean, their coaches, I watched them. I talked to them. And this coach from Roseau, he was talking to those coaches, because we beat Thief River, we beat Bemidji. He knew that we were strong. We were going to give them a game. So they were ready, and they had played all these other teams. They were very fast, good, team members, I guess you'd call them. And we just got snowballed that first period, and that really put us behind the eight ball. We never recovered, really. And I think put that team against the teams that went to the state Class A tournament, we'd have beat them.
That season, we really were good together. We had a good chemistry. We really had gelled. And that was really the team that we played as Bantams. We had a lot of seniors and juniors on that team. I was just looking at the pictures out in the hall. When I was a junior, those guys had eight seniors when I was a junior, and then we had seven. So we had 15 juniors and seniors on that team, and just really, really had a good chemistry. And we had great goaltending. Mark Ferber was our goalie, and he was one of the best goalies I've ever seen in the net. At practice, it was hard to score on him. And he was so into it. Every shot that he faced, whether it's in practice or in a game, he wasn't going to let the puck in. So we were really blessed to have just great guys on that team, great, great talent.
We had some very good leaders. Tommy Beck was probably one of the best as far as the leader go. Paul Bjorklund, Todd Johnson, that was the number one line in 78. And we had Steve Lundin on defense. You know, we had a Hedstrom, we had a Knutson. We had a lot of kids that had the hockey ability. They just had to be focused in the right area. We had Tim Mann. In 1980, excellent Jody Wendler and a Denley kid, Scott Denley. That line competed with any good line in Section 8. I mean, when we play Waro, they dominated. So we had kids that were able to play with any of the best players in Section 8, which is any of the best players in the state. And we had that all the way up. I've got a list of some, but I can't. It's been many years, let me tell you, many years. But every once in a while, I'll run across, like a year ago, I ran into Paul Drexel. Never heard of him. His brother Jay played goalie in 1981, I believe it was. And I coached him a little bit. He was part of it. But Paul went in the Air Force after that, and he was an air traffic controller. I ran into him in Fergus about a year and a half, 2 years ago. He said that was the best preparation for me to be in the Air Force and as an air traffic controller. He said that discipline, that hard work, that everything. I really appreciated that from Paul.
Well, the corner had been turned. Wayne Horgan's successful six-year run as head coach produced some of the greatest hockey teams in Otter history to that point and since that point.
You just form such great relationships with people you play sports with, right? It's things, adversities, and joys that you go through with those guys, and you become great friends, lifelong friends. I know we went on some of the guys I played hockey with, they were all hockey players. We went on a grouse hunting trip for 25 years in Minnesota. You know, and guys that lived outside the area would come back, not every year, but that's one great benefit or a memory from sports. But, you know, you would, on and off the ice, be together, especially some of the teams that were the closest, on and off the ice, in the season and outside of the season, would be together all the time. Just, you know, that was your really your friend base, and just learn all kinds of things about life off the ice.
Wayne Horgan stepped aside after the 79-80 season, and that brought in Bill Kolpitz, who spent 2 years coaching the Otters. Tom Mann, who played for both Horgan and Kolpitz, talked about the styles that they brought to the ice.
Well, I would say they're probably pretty alike. You know, it was, you know, snap the chalk line, right? And it's my way or the highway deal, right? And then when I showed up my sophomore year, right, Wayne Horgan had been the varsity coach for quite a while, right? So being on the varsity team coming right from Bantams, right, displeased some people, I'm sure, that had been around, on the JV team and things like that. And, but as far as coaching style go, I would say it's very similar. It was, there wasn't a lot of leeway. If you weren't going to forecheck the way they wanted, you'd forecheck. If you weren't going to run the power play or do whatever, go sit down on the end of the bench and I'll tap you on the shoulder when you might get to go back in. So I guess I wouldn't say there was a lot of difference. Bill was probably more vocal during practice than Wayne Horgan was. Or maybe I was a little bit older when I finally kind of came out of my shell a little bit, I guess, as a sophomore. I didn't say much, right? And it was just kind of do what I was told and kind of go from there.
We'll learn more about the 2 years Bill Colpitt spent behind the bench for the Otters on part two of our Otter Hockey History podcast. We'll also look at the Tim Cullen years, seven very competitive and successful seasons, and the 7 years that Brian Vatnsdal spent at the helm. All that on part two of our Otter Hockey History podcast.